ओम ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome everyone who's joined us here at ISV and also online. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, sages had gathered at Naimisharanya and they're having a discussion with Hare Krishna, welcome. They were having a discussion with Suta Goswami, asking questions, and they were purified by his association. This is a format we find throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, where devotees discuss together the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Can you think of other devotees who are having discussions throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam? What are some of the famous dialogues that took place? We have a couple of microphones, so we'll just keep them flowing around. Which dialogues took place in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Which one is the most... Which is the longest dialogue? Which dialogue, who speaks the most in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Anyway, we'll just take dialogues. You'd think, right? Go ahead. Give her the mic. It's broadcast, so we speak into the mic so everyone can hear online. Sorry for the inconvenience. There you go.
So I think one was Kapila Dev and his mother Devahuti.
Yes, definitely. One of the classic conversations that takes place in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Devahuti and her son, Lord Kapiladev. What other conversations?
Maitreya and Uddhava.
Maitreya and Uddhava. And Maitreya, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Who else did Maitreya speak with?
I was thinking about Rishabhadev and his sons.
Yes, that's a famous oratory that Rishabhadev gave to his 100 sons. There didn't seem to be a lot of dialogue in that one, but still, it was an assembly and he was delivering a message and they were listening, right? Others? Maybe. Yes?
Then I think Uddhava was directed by Vidur to go to Maitreya. So, Vidur and Maitreya.
Yes, so Uddhava, who was Krishna's intimate associate, advisor, had followed Krishna to the forest. Krishna was contemplating leaving the world, and he was sitting against a young banyan tree with his left foot crossed over his right knee, leaning back, and Uddhava came there. He heard from Krishna, and at that time, Maitreya, who was a great sage, had a tendency towards jnana, but he was a very fortunate personality because of some previous contact, Gyata Sukriti. He had some previous credit. He was wandering through the forest and he just happened to come across this scene where Krishna is sitting there and Uddhava is sitting there. And he listened to the entire conversation between Krishna and Uddhava. So he was in on it. And then when Vidura was looking for a spiritual master, he met Uddhava, and Uddhava referred him to Maitreya. Yes, for a couple of reasons. One, he said Maitreya was older. And the other reason was Uddhava already had a service, and that was that he was to go to Bhadarika Ashram and teach the most esoteric aspects of Krishna consciousness to the residents there. After all, Krishna had sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to deliver a message. Ostensibly, he had sent him for that reason, but actually, he had sent him to observe the really advanced devotees. And when Uddhava went there and saw the character of the residents of Vrindavan who were pining in association, in separation from Krishna, he was very much impressed. What other dialogues take place in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes.
Yudhishthira and Narada Muni.
Yudhishthira and Narada Muni. Who else in Narada Muni? Narada Muni and a lot of people, right? Can you think of who else? Yes.
Brahmaji and Narada Muni.
Brahmaji and Narada Muni, that's a very important part of the second canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Yes?
I think Dhruva and Narada Muni.
Dhruva and Narada Muni is very instructive. Just as Dhruva is leaving for the forest after getting some direction from his, both from his stepmother and biological mother, he determined that he would go to the forest. And Narada Muni basically intercepted him, and it says that he overheard the conversation. Prabhupada clarifies that because super souls within everyone's heart, when someone has a very strong desire to connect to Krishna, then Krishna begins to organize that person's life in such a way. Brahmanda brahmate kon bhagyavan jeev guru Krishna prasade pai bhakti lata beej. He arranged for Narada Muni to meet Dhruva Maharaj and give him instruction. Yes, who else did Narada instruct?
Krishna's father, Vasudeva and Narada.
Yes, and where do you find that?
11th canto.
11th canto. And what topics did he bring up? Ashrada, she just read the 11th canto.
No, I just heard him say it. That's right, and I think that was some of the
topics. Did he bring up the Navayogendras?
Yeah, the Noyog.
That's a long section. And then you get a dialogue between King Nimi and Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabhuda, Pipalayana, Avirhotra, Drumala, Pipalayana, and Karbhajana. There's nine sages who were nine of the 100 sons of Rishabhadeva who became sages. And that dialogue is very important. They go into so much detail about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Any other dialogues that are brought up directly or indirectly in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes, we got Kapila Dev. What is your name? Kaylee. And? Madan Mohan Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Kaylee brought up the Kapila Dev and Devahuti connection. Yes?
I think Puranjan section in fourth canto, Narada then.
Narada Puranjana, that's a big one. Goes all the way through the fourth canto. You got to use the mic.
So all the queens of Krishna, when they come to Suraj Kund during the solar eclipse,
yes,
they all talk about Krishna among
themselves.
That's
a big part.
Yeah. Prachetas, Narada instruction.
Prachetas, Narada, Lord Shiva and Prachetas. Yes? Yes!
Bhishma Dev instructs Yudhishthir.
Yeah, and everyone else listening in, right? Very important part. Prahlad instructing his classmates. How about Hiranyakashipu instructing his family members after the death of Hiranyaka? Hare Krishna. After the death of Hiranyaka, then he instructs his family members in Atmatattva Gyan, remarkably. Yes?
That's very strange,
eh? Yeah. Well, partly it's because he's actually a devotee. Because Jai and Vijay were cursed to come down to the material world, so they're devotees in disguise. But also, Prabhupada explains in that section that even the demons knew the philosophy. It wasn't that Jarasandha didn't know the philosophy, he just hated Krishna. He didn't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. He was envious. So there are chairs coming in. Anybody prefers a chair at any time, feel free. Make yourself at home. There's also zafus available in that basket, so if you feel more comfortable sitting on a zafu, you can do that. Okay, so all these conversations, we have through the what we call revealed scripture, we're able to sit in and listen in these conversations. And according to the beginning instructions of Sutta Goswami, just by hearing the conversations between great devotees, one's intelligence becomes clarified, one's heart becomes purified by these topics. This is Krishna Katha. So Prabhupada mentions in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam how there's two kinds of Krishna Katha. There's topics about Krishna and there's topics which are spoken by Krishna himself. Some are by Krishna's devotees, and others Krishna gives direct instruction. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, which is also called the Gita Upanishad, once a devotee asked Prabhupada, that, is that Shruti or Smriti? Shruti meaning the original Vedas, and then the Smriti, which means an explanation of the Vedas. So which is it, Shruti or Smriti? So Prabhupada answered, it's both. Because it comes after the original Vedas, but it was spoken directly by Krishna, so it's Shruti and Smriti. Another time he says it's Smriti. But so, all of these are available for us to have really a front row seat in the conversation between these great souls. And Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ritantaksto Hibhadrani Vidunoti Suhritsatam. By submissively hearing these topics one after another, there's a transformation of the heart. Because the sound vibration is transcendental, Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma, the Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. And this was the formula that Prabhupada gave when he was coming on the famous cargo ship named, and he wrote poetry talking about how he would affect change in the Western world. And here are a few sentences. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of the Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives them with submissive oral reception, with what? S-A-R, with SAR, submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. So what's required for advancement in spiritual life is the submissive oral reception. And today I'm going to read a little bit from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in a very riveting section. One is, this section is called The Appearance of Sri Narada. And I'll read the English translations for you so you can get a sense for this chapter. Are you all ready?
Yes.
On the edge of your seats? Ready to hear with rapt attention? Because as we just heard in the last chapter, the last purport, Prabhupada says what the secret is for hearing the Bhagavatam. And I'll just read a small section from this, verse 44 from the third chapter, where he says, This is the process and there is no alternative. Suta Goswami is a bona fide representative of Shukadeva Goswami because he wants to present the message which he received from the great learned Brahmana Shukadeva Goswami, presented Bhagavatam as he heard it from his great father, and so also Suta Goswami is presenting Bhagavatam as he heard it from Shukadeva Goswami. Simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word nivishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna on every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person in all the pages of the Bhagavatam. So this is chapter 4, the appearance of Sri Narada. If you're ready to drink the Bhagavatam through your ears, Hare Krishna. On hearing Suta Goswami speak thus, Shaunaka Muni, who was the elderly, learned leader of the rishis, engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Suta Goswami by addressing him as follows. Shaunaka said, can we make sure that everyone's comfortable? Has seats, thank you. Shaunaka said, O Suta Goswami, you are the most fortunate and respected of all those who can speak and recite. Please relate the pious message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by the great and powerful sage, Shukadeva Goswami. In what period and at what place was this first begun, and why was this taken up? From where did Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature? His, Vyasadeva's son, was a great devotee, an equibalanced monist, whose mind was always concentrated in monism. He was transcendental to mundane activities, but being unexposed, he appeared like an ignorant person. While Sri Vyasadeva was following his son, beautiful young damsels who were bathing naked covered their bodies with cloth, although Sri Vyasadeva himself was not naked. But they had not done so when his son had passed. The sage inquired about this, and the young ladies replied that his son was purified and when looking at them made no distinction between male and female, but the sage made such distinctions. How was he, Srila Shukadeva, the son of Vyas, recognized by the citizens when he entered the city of Hastinapur, now Delhi? After wandering in the provinces of Kuru and Jungla, appearing like a madman, dumb and retarded. How did it so happen that King Parikshit met this great sage, making it possible for this great transcendental essence of the Vedas, Bhagavatam, to be sung to him? He, Shukadeva Goswami, was accustomed to stay at the door of a householder only long enough for a cow to be milked, and he did this just to sanctify the residence. It is said that Maharaj Parikshit is a great first-class devotee of the Lord and that his birth and activities are all wonderful. Please tell us about him. He was a great emperor and possessed all the opulences of his acquired kingdom. He was so exalted that he was increasing the prestige of the Pandu dynasty. Why did he give up everything to sit down on the bank of the Ganges and fast until death? He was such a great emperor that all his enemies would come and bow down at his feet and surrender all their wealth for their own benefit. He was full of youth and strength, and he possessed insuperable kingly opulences. Why did he want to give up everything, including his life? Those who are devoted to the cause of this personality of Godhead live only for the welfare, development, and happiness of others. They do not live for any selfish interests. So even though the emperor Parikshit was free from all attachment to worldly possessions, how could he give up his mortal body, which was shelter for others? We know that you are expert in the meaning of all subjects except some portions of the Vedas, and thus you can clearly explain the answers to all the questions we have just put before you. Suta Goswami said, when the second millennium overlapped the third, the great sage Vyasadeva was born to Parashara in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of Vasu. Once upon a time, he, Vyasadeva, as the sun rose, took his morning ablution in the waters of the Saraswati and sat alone to concentrate. The great sage Vyasadeva saw anomalies in the duties of the millennium. This happens on the earth in different ages due to unseen forces in the course of time. The great sage, who was fully equipped in knowledge, could see through his transcendental vision the deterioration of everything material due to the influence of the age. He could also see that the faithless people in general would be reduced in duration of life and would be impatient due to lack of goodness. Thus, he contemplated for the welfare of men in all statuses and orders of life. He saw that the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas were means by which the people's occupations could be purified. And to simplify the process, he divided the one Veda into four in order to expand them among men. The four divisions of the original sources of knowledge, the Vedas, were made separately. But the historical facts and authentic stories mentioned in the Puranas are called the fifth Veda. After the Vedas are divided into four divisions, Pila Rishi became the professor of the Rig Veda, Jaimini, the professor of the Sama Veda, and Vaishvampayan of Vyas alone became glorified by the Yajur Veda. The Samantu Muni Angira, who was very devotedly engaged, was entrusted with the Atharva Veda, and my father, Romaharshan, was entrusted with the Puranas and historical records. All these learned scholars, in their turn, rendered their entrusted Vedas unto their many disciples, grand disciples, and great grand disciples. And thus the respective branches of the followers of the Vedas came into being. Thus the great sage Vyasadeva, who is very kind to the ignorant masses, edited the Vedas so they might be assimilated by less intellectual men. Out of compassion, the great sage thought it wise that this would enable men to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus he compiled the great historical narration called Mahabharata for women, laborers, and friends of the twice-born. O twice-born Brahmanas, still his mind was not satisfied, although he engaged himself in working for the total welfare of all people. Thus the sage, being dissatisfied at heart, at once began to reflect, because he knew the essence of religion, and he said within himself, I have under strict disciplinary vows unpretentiously worshipped the Vedas, the spiritual master, and the altar of sacrifice. I have also abided by the rulings and have shown the import of disciplic succession through the explanation of the Mahabharata, by which even women, Shudras, and others, friends of the twice-born, can see the path of religion. I am feeling incomplete. Though I myself am fully equipped with everything required by the Vedas. This may be because I did not specifically point out the devotional service of the Lord, which is dear both to perfect beings and the infallible Lord. As mentioned before, Narada reached the cottage of Krishna, Dvaipayana Vyas, on the banks of the Saraswati, just as Vyasadeva was regretting his defects. At the auspicious arrival of Sri Narada, Sri Vyasadeva got up respectfully and worshipped him, giving him veneration equal to that given to Brahmaji, the creator. That's the end of the chapter. So how did that chapter strike you? And what specific thing that stuck in your mind about it that you can bring up before I move on to the next chapter? Mukaravind. And welcome, everyone. Nice to see you all. Where are you all coming from?
We are coming from Alachua in Florida.
Alachua?
Yes.
It got too hot out there, right?
Well.
Please tell everyone to move here to Silicon Valley. And Thank you for coming.
Yes, you're welcome.
Nice to have you here.
My son, Dr. Amit, he's cardiologist in...
Behind you?
There,
yeah, I thought so. I saw the resemblance.
Okay,
nice to see
and
you.
He is with cardiology practice. And my wife, Sharad Bihari Dasi, is
Hare
here.
Hare Krishna.
And my sister-in-law is Hare also Krishna. Here.
Nice to meet you.
And you are Vaisashiki Prabhu?
Yeah, Vaisheshika Das. Sometimes okay. People mix Vyasaki. My godbrother, we get each other's mail. people. So, do you have any new CDs? I don't sing. Yeah.
Very nice to meet you,
Prabhu. Are you on a,
my name is Advaita Acharya.
Advaita Acharya Prabhu, nice
and
to meet
like
you.
Like I said, that 1972, I visited ISKCON storefront temple in Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio?
Yes.
In Shaker Heights. It was on Euclid Avenue?
Euclid.
Yeah. I spent time at that temple in 1974.
Okay.
Shishi Radha Murlidhar.
Right. It was managed by New Vrindavan people.
Right.
At that time.
And then Bhattu Gopal was the temple president.
Yes. So, can't find better place to start Krishna consciousness.
Wonderful. I have very deep connection, heart connection to that temple as well.
Well,
we used to go to the Cleveland Hopkins Airport.
Okay, right.
The director of the airport was named Mr. Overst, and we gave him the nickname Avrishtasura. Because he didn't like us, and he tried to get us to leave. And there was a line on the floor in the airport, and if anybody stepped over the line, he would arrest us. So my friend Divyanga Prabhu, who also is in Alachua, still goes on book distribution. I think he was arrested like 34 times or something. And later when he was applying for a permit for something, they gave him the permit because none of them were felonies. But they said, Mr. McCready, I just have one question. How do you get arrested 34 times? So are you on a tour of the world?
No, we are visiting our son, who is working in Google.
Oh.
And he is not here today. But it's like a family get-together, Vaishashiki Prabhu.
How wonderful.
And so Amit came from Ithaca, New York. We came from Florida. And Anant lives here. My youngest son, Abhay, he lives near us in Gainesville, in Florida. And these boys grew up in ISKCON, and I'm trying to finish my vanprastha here in ISKCON with
Bravo.
Lotus feet.
Well done. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Would you introduce yourself?
I'm Madan Mohan Das. I'm coming from Austin, Texas, originally from Philly, though. And I remember when you came there, I don't know, maybe 8 years, and inspired so many devotees to do book distribution. And and that's my wife, Kaylee Kadamba Das.
Hare Krishna.
And I got a job here. So
you did?
Yeah.
Yay! Jobs for everyone here in Silicon Valley. I think we need an on-site cardiologist too, by the way.
But I'm so happy that the deities are Madan Mohan, Madan Mohan. So I have to come here.
This is Krishna's arrangement. Krishna's arrangement. Very nice. And earlier before you came, we were having a meeting in our meeting room about our Google presentation because we have weekly classes that we present at Google. That have been going very well. 2 full years of semesters we've had so far, right? And now we're just refining the classes that right on campus. Many of the Googlers come there who are the cream of the crop, and they're interested in Krishna consciousness and so forth. It's very nice. You just arrived recently?
Thursday, yeah.
Thursday. If there's anything you need, let us know. Same for you and your whole family. Any help getting settled or anything like that? We have a network and, you know, we can help accommodate. Are you settled in yet?
Yeah, I have corporate housing, so I'm good.
Where are you living?
Right downtown on Castro Street.
Oh, downtown here?
Yeah.
Now that is Krishna's arrangement. Fantastic. Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much, Krishna, and you. All of you. Thank you. Yes? Garrett. Please. Graham.
No, I'm just, I am stopping by. I noticed the devotees in Palo Alto on University, and I guess there also was a reach out on some event in Castro Street in Mountain View, and I live in Mountain View, and I'd been to temples, you know, back in college like 30 years ago.
Boston?
Yeah, in Boston. Yeah, in Boston, and there were some devotees in Amherst where I went to school, and I also visited the Brooklyn Temple once or twice. So
fantastic!
So I came to see the day.
Welcome, Graham. Really nice to have you here. Yeah, that was quite a festival we had last week. We could feel the energy. We had a very large Nagar Harinam party and also a Rath Yatra downtown Palo Alto, and the energy was palpable. I'm so glad you're here. You're just passing through.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'm just visiting to see the deities again.
Okay. Thank you very much, Graham.
Well, thank you.
Anybody else like to introduce yourself?
Hare Krishna. My name is Bhargav. I live in Fremont, and this is my first time to the ISKCON in Silicon Valley. I looked at the website and noticed that there is Krishna Katha today, so wanted to be a part of it.
Thank you. Anyone attracted to Krishna Katha is at a very elevated stage of life. They will go out of their way to come to Krishna Katha, wherever it's happening. This is actually the secret of success in life. Wherever there's Krishna Katha, be there. And much of what we're discussing here is that these conversations are going on all over the universe, discussions about Krishna. No one comes to the end of them. But Prabhupada describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that just as professors who have studied their subjects intimately for many years come together and they talk about the details of the philosophy over and over again. And in that way, there's a way in which they refine their understanding of the philosophy, and that strengthens their resolve to engage in devotional service. Nice. Anyone else? Yes? Yes, you have some points. Okay, make a point. Yes?
Hi, this is Ravi. I was working in Cisco, staying in Fremont. This is the first time I was coming here.
Welcome, Ravi.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Mukaravind? Let's hear your point.
Maharaj, the point that struck to me that in which it was describing that how Vyasdev has written the four Vedas and then he has handed over to his disciples and disciples then their grand disciples. So I was thinking, reflecting that how much fortunate we are when we hand over that Srimad Bhagavatam, same Srimad Bhagavatam which has been passed down from so many generations, if we just go down and we are connected to the same parampara and having the same fortune to share the glory with, share this knowledge and with others. And I was just recollecting my fortunate, and thank you so much to you for giving us this opportunity.
Yeah, in one section, Prabhupada talks about how we have a debt. We talked about debt last night, how we're born into debt. Prabhupada mentions how we have a debt to the previous great sages who have brought this knowledge forward so that we can take advantage of it. Painstakingly, they've made the knowledge available to the world. That's their preoccupation, how people can get the knowledge so they can improve themselves and come out of ignorance and so forth. And Prabhupada mentioned that the way that we pay that debt to those great souls is by helping them distribute it. Of course, first and foremost, we have to distribute it to ourselves. Otherwise, we won't realize the importance of giving it to other people. But that in and of itself is a complete occupation, taking in the knowledge and distributing it to others. And as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, there's no lack of anything in this world except for Krishna consciousness, the only thing missing. If we improve on the material side of life, unlimitedly, we still won't be happy. And this is indicated in this chapter so far, because Srila Vyasadeva, interestingly, is intimately connected with spiritual knowledge. But he's still despondent. And we're going to find out why in the next chapter when Narada Muni, his spiritual master, refines his service and gives him the reason. He reveals it to him, the reason why he's feeling dissatisfied, even though so far he's compiled all the Vedas, the Mahabharata, and so forth. He didn't go far enough. So it goes to show that the one's connection with the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead means one has to revive that relationship in order to become happy. Yene ravindaksha vamuktamaninas toyasta bhava da vashuddha buddhaya aruya krishnena paramparam tata patantyato nadrita yushmarangraya. The demigods praying to Lord Krishna in the womb said that whatever endeavor one makes in this world, whatever so-called perfection one reaches in this world, if it doesn't include reconnecting to one's relationship with the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, it won't satisfy the heart, and therefore, at some point, the mind will reject it. Has that ever happened to anybody? You thought you had the best thing that you could ever attain, and then suddenly, a year later, a moment later, 10 years later, the mind rejected the same thing and said, I don't want this anymore, I hate it. Whereas 10 years earlier, you said, I love it. I love him, I love her, now I hate you, I hate that, I hate the company, I hate the... This is, the mind works like this, but the satisfaction comes from reviving one's relationship with Krishna. And I was thinking today that it's a non-sectarian process. It's not that we have a monopoly, that only through Gaudiya Vaishnavism one can experience the presence of God, because God, Krishna, is all accommodating. He's in every way reaching out to every living entity at every moment. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridaye sharjuna tishtiti brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm there in the heart of every living entity and directing their wanderings, not just in a certain class of people, but in every living entity. And therefore he's ready at any moment to guide one to the perfection of life. It's just a matter, bhakti means one has to make oneself available for that mercy. And to be able to take that full mercy of Krishna. And then, of course, the Bhagavatam refines the understanding of what that mercy is and shows what is the pinnacle of purification and the way in which one can appreciate Krishna. That's the highest conception of God when one understands his appearance as Krishna. It means that the relationship is so intimate and satisfying that one finds one's ultimate occupation in life.
Prajee, the thing that struck me was that when Vyasadeva was feeling despondent that way and he was sincerely seeking out, and then from within the super soul, like Narada Muni just appeared. So I was just thinking, if you're sincere and if you want to make some progress in Krishna consciousness, then we get help in different directions from Krishna. So yesterday we went door to door to one house, and we met a person from Gorakhpur, where the Gita press is, where they translated all the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was saying, like, all through his life, he actually was living right across the temple. He would hear the bell ringing in the temple from his house. So he was brought up in that state. And then he moved to America. And then for the past 1 year, he had a child and everything. So he was busy and he lost connection there. And then he moved to California and he had a roommate who was a Muslim. And he said that he just lived with that Muslim person for 1 month. And he saw the Muslim guy doing his prayers sincerely. And he missed some of the prayers during his office hours. So he made up during the rest of the day. And as soon as he saw him, he thought, you know, I'm missing that in my life. I want to connect back to that life where I was connected to the Vedas, to the Bhagavad Gita. Every day they used to have Srimad Bhagavatam going on every evening. So when we showed up at his door and we described Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, you know, you connected back the things that I was missing. So I was just thinking he was sincerely missing something and he prayed and then somehow Krishna made an arrangement.
That's beautiful. So, and these are the kinds of inspiring scenes that one gets to witness for oneself by going out and presenting, being a representative of the Srimad Bhagavatam, presenting it to others. Very nice. And it also illuminates the statement that Prabhupada made before he came to America. In one of his poems, he writes that people are sitting in their homes, they're looking down the road wondering, when are Nitai and Gaur going to come and save me? And they may not even know it yet, or they may be at a point in life where they have this nondescript but very intense desire to know more, to know God, to connect. Even Gajendra, when he was captured by the crocodile, he had this intense need to call out to God. And he remembered by Krishna's grace the prayers he had recited in his previous life. But even at that time, as he began to recite them, he had a feeling that there's a supreme, but he didn't know who he was. He was in an elephant body. And as he began to call out the prayers, then everything came into a focus. And Prabhupada also, when we were in Denver several weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, Nero Kula, my wife, was speaking to one of the devotees there who told her of an experience she had where she was standing next to a wall and a fire extinguisher fell off the wall and came down very violently, and it cut her Achilles tendon. And it was such a shocking experience that, you know, she looked down and then she passed out on the floor. And then when she came back to external consciousness, she said she wasn't aware if she was a human or where she came from or where she was. She just knew that she was seeing objects and light and everything like that. But she said the one thing that came to her was the Maha Mantra. And she realized from that, through her lifetime practice of chanting Hare Krishna, that Krishna has his own volition. And it's not a mechanical process, but if we're there for Krishna, then he comes to us and is always with us, but he reciprocates with those who are endeavoring to meet him. Interestingly, the topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam is how to not be afraid when one leaves this world, when one leaves the body. This was the initial topic brought up by Shukadeva Goswami, of what is the duty of one who's about to die. And then, of course, it's recognized by thinkers that everyone's in a similar situation. So how to accomplish that great feat, to cheat death before death cheats me. And that is attained by those who are very fortunate and take advantage of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And now I'm going to move on to the next chapter, because we're getting into, we've heard about the appearance of Shukadeva Goswami, of Narada Muni, and he did mention Shukadeva Goswami in this previous chapter, how he was completely equipoised, not attached to the world at all, but then he became attached to the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 5. It has some very important philosophical points, and we may stop at some of those and then discuss. Not that we have all day, although it would be nice to just keep going. Suta Goswami said, "Thus the sage amongst the gods, Narada, comfortably seated and apparently smiling, addressed the rishi amongst the brahmanas, Vedavyas. Addressing Vyasadeva, the son of Parashara, Narada inquired, 'Are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of self-realization? Your inquiries were full and your studies were also well fulfilled. And there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences elaborately explained. You have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman as well as the knowledge derived therefrom. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this, thinking that you are undone, my dear Prabhu? Srila Vyasadeva said, all you have said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified. I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge, due to your being the offspring of one Brahma, who is self-born without mundane father and mother. My Lord, everything that is mysterious is known to you because you worship the creator and destroyer of the material world and the maintainer of the spiritual world, the original personality of Godhead who is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. Like the sun, your goodness can travel everywhere in the three worlds, and like the air, you can penetrate the internal region of everyone. As such, you are as good as the all-pervasive Supersoul. Please, therefore, find out the deficiency in me, despite my being absorbed in transcendence under disciplinary regulations and vows. Sri Narada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead, that philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Although, great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles, beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudev. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for this devotional service of the Lord? So this last verse, Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhavavarjitam nishobate jnanam alam niranjanam, gives an essence of this chapter that even at the what is considered to be a very exalted stage of working without desire for fruitive results, Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhavavarjitam, if the object isn't to please the transcendental senses of the personality of Godhead, if one doesn't have the achuta bhava, which means this very specific feeling for the personality of Godhead, then he says, nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam. It doesn't look very good. Nashobate means it's not beautiful, it doesn't look good. We say in our Artik song about Arotiko Shobha, it's beautiful. The scene of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates standing at the bank of the Ganga, we're remembering that scene over and over again when we sing the evening Artik Shobha. It's just overwhelmingly beautiful. And Nashobate Jnanam Alam Niranjanam, if it doesn't include this connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it doesn't look well. It's not very beautiful. Then he says, what to speak of fruitive activities, which are just for stupid people. I mean, it's a big mistake. You're barking up the wrong tree. There's nothing there, and you're going after it again and again like a crazy person. What to speak of somebody like that? So this focuses our mind, this chapter and these instructions, on how to actually become happy in life. And that is to direct our attention towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this is yoga, to bring one's mind through the process of Ashtanga yoga means, according to Patanjali in the Yoga Sutra, to first become a good person, to stop lying, cheating, doing anything that will disturb others, and then begin to follow some regulation in your own life. Don't let your senses victimize you, because they're bad masters. Kamadinam katina katida palita durni deshas tesham jatamayina karuna natrapa no pashanti. The devotee prays, how long have I been serving these bad masters? Lust. Envy is the worst of them. I'm envious because envy means the inability to tolerate the eminence of another. I just can't stand it that somebody's good. That these are bad masters. I've been serving since the time immemorial. So now he says, I've given that up, and now I'm turning my attention towards serving you, Krishna. And so yam, niyam, there's regulations to overcome the urge of the senses, and then one begins to concentrate the mind, be able to bring the mind back and steadily think of one at one point. And there's this step-by-step process in Ashtanga, which Krishna also mentions in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. But then, as we've noted very carefully, and we pass on in many of our classes at Google and other places, well appreciated by those who are yoga students, that Patanjali, in a couple of places throughout his sutras, says that if you want to move to the head of the class quickly and bypass all these mechanical processes, then you do Ishvara Pranidhan. That means find out Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, the personality who's running the whole everything, the boss, and just bow your head to him. And Krishna says a similar thing in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, recognize that I'm the Bhoktaram. I'm the object of whatever you're offering, you can give to me, I'll enjoy it, and then you'll enjoy concomitantly. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka mahesh, and I control everything. You don't, and that's a big relief for me, because I can't get a lot of technology to work the way I want to, ever. And I always think, this is horrible. I can't. And it's very frustrating, but the whole material world's like that. It always turns out something's a little off. I come to the last box and it says, you know, push this button and you're finished. And I got to call the customer support and then I'm on hold for an hour. And then they finally come off and they say, oh, I'll transfer you. And then they transfer and then you get cut off. And I think I could have written this on a piece of paper much quicker. Anyway, it's a frustrating world. But I'm not the controller of it, so what can I say? So Krishna says, I control all the material energy. Let him control it. It's his thing. He's the Ishvara, no problem. And then he's the best friend, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the best friend of all living entities. He's the one who comes with me wherever I go, anywhere in the material or spiritual world. I'm always connected. Sanitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. The Brahma Samhita defines that I have an eternal kinship with the Lord. I've only forgotten that. And I've turned my attention in another direction. So now, here, Narada is giving this instruction, turn your attention back to Krishna, very specifically to the personality of Godhead. And in the practice of bhakti, we hear from the great teachers like Rupa Goswami, Tanama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasin Yoja. Tishtan vraje tanaduragi jananugami kalam nayed akilim ityupadesha saram. He said, refine your life, reorganize your life around the principle of hearing about the personality of Godhead, and then chanting and remembering and offering prayers, the nine processes of devotional service. Tanama rupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramena. Then he says, kramena, step by step, you'll improve in your life. Just from this one activity of giving your attention to hearing about the topics of the personality of Godhead. And it's an interesting transformation. I was talking to one very bright young man who came here yesterday from Palo Alto. And Derek? Yeah, Derek, very smart. And he was telling me about his journey in spiritual life and how he discovered the Bhagavad Gita and he was reading different versions. And many of the versions he got and the distinctive feeling that the authors were trying to say or were saying that ultimately God is impersonal. That there's something beyond the person that's speaking the Bhagavad Gita, that there's and that's the ultimate goal, to become impersonal and to maybe merge into that, and you are the same as that, and therefore you just have forgotten temporarily, and then when you remove the coverings you'll realize that you are God and so forth. And he felt dissatisfied by that. Nashobate gyanam alam niranjanam. It's not satisfying. That kind of knowledge doesn't satisfy it. Also, I had a similar experience when I was young and began to read various spiritual books and investigate Vedic knowledge. I was wondering over and over again, although there are prayers offered to the Supreme, and there was also descriptions of how ultimate perfection means that I would become the Supreme, how is it that I'm praying to myself? And when it came to offering something like a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, how am I offering to myself? And when I saw the advertisement for the Sri Upanishad in a Back to Godhead magazine, that just came right out and said it in the most clear language you can imagine, that the ancient Vedas of India say that God is a person. He can't be anything less than a person. Logically, he can't. But nobody says it, except for those who are on the path of pure devotional service, and like Narada Muni, and he's presenting, this is the panacea, to turn your attention back to the personality of God from whom everything else emanates. And everything's included there. Om Purnam Adak Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate. This describes the complete, absolute source of everything, who is a person. And Srila Prabhupada comments in his purport to that invocation of the Sri Upanishad that all forms of incompleteness are due to incomplete knowledge of the complete. That in itself is worth the price of admission. Just knowing that my incomplete feelings are because I don't have complete knowledge of the complete whole. And the complete whole is describable. He's not he's not indescribable. He's not inscrutable. He's not beyond what the scriptures can say. And this is brought out in the Vedanta Sutra, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood through transcendental sound. Anavritti Shabdat. Anavritti Shabdat means through the transcendental sound one can become uncovered. And that also it reveals, it is revealing and pointing to a personality, the personality of Godhead. And then through the Smritis and through the explanations of the pure devotees, we find that everything is pointing towards this relationship that we have with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he taught that first you find out about this relationship, and this is called sambandha. What is my relationship? When I know my relationship with someone or something, then I begin to act on it. And he gives the example of the astrologer who meets a poor man who's suffering because he has no money and no means in life and is very depressed. And the astrologer, Sarvagya, who's a very powerful astrologer, looks at the man's chart and then says, actually, you're not a poor person. I have big news for you. Your father, whom you were estranged from, died. But he left you his entire fortune, and he was the wealthiest man in the whole country. And I can even tell from your chart where the treasure that he left for you is buried. Doesn't make you feel good just hearing the story. This is a feel-good story. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told this. It's like one of those movies, you know, where you watch it, and the poor guy is suffering all his life, and it turns out, actually, you're the king, you know. Get back up there. So that's the sambandha gyan, or knowledge of my actual relationship, who I am. I have an identity crisis now. I've been covered and forgotten that relationship. And it can be uncovered through the process of bhakti, which means to remind oneself through the hearing process of one's original relationship with the Supreme Personality of God, which is not very far away. And therefore, the Shastra says very quickly this can be re-inspired within the heart, and one can become infused with the energy of the spiritual world through which one then has a connection to the spiritual world and to the one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of God in a tangible way, even in this lifetime. So these instructions by Narada Muni lead us to a very practical conclusion in our practice, which is that by hearing regularly from the Srimad Bhagavatam the topics of the Personality of Godhead, one becomes reinstated, purified, and enlivened. And what are some of the topics of the Personality of Godhead mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam by category of stories that you can mention? Go ahead, Mukaravind. Just belt it out there to the universe. Don't hold back. No, just tell, what are some of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna?
Atra sarga visarga cha pushmana. Sarga visarga. Creation, sub-creation, and devotees, and...
But just tell what we're talking about before you give any Sanskrit. What do you mean by that?
Like, it described the complete, like how this universe came, and how who has created the universe, and its subdivision, and also the who is maintaining this whole universe, and the devotee of the Lord, the complete science of the God. So this all, there are...
So he's referring to a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which describes all the different categories of knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada gives a very concise definition. He says, the entire subject matter of the Vedas comes to these three points. Spirit, matter, and the controller of both. These three categories. Vishnu Purana also gives a definition of the various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, talking about spirit, matter, and the controller of both, and describes how there's in the realm of spirit, there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shara, Shakshara Evacha, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the fallible and the infallible. So there's the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what other pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are listed in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Did Krishna ever kill anyone? Now, before that, it may sound macabre, and how could you bring that up in a church? So Krishna's killing and Krishna's giving benediction with his hand and through his voice are absolute, because when one is killed by Krishna, one also attains the supreme destination, because God is all good and absolute. So his killing and his loving are equal. Did he ever kill anyone? Yes. Could you name five people that Krishna killed? Agasura? Who was Agasura?
Python.
It was a big python. Have you ever seen a big python? Anyone? Pretty scary. The snakes are generally pretty scary because they, even if they're harmless, and people don't know it, they see a snake. Even if you see a rope in the dark and you think it's a snake, you jump half a mile and they go, anybody see that? I wasn't really afraid. The snakes are scary, but what to speak of a gigantic snake. Agasura was lying on the path. Krishna and his friends had gone out for the day, which they did every day, actually. They would leave their homes. Krishna would call them with his buffalo horn. He would make a sound with the buffalo horn. He would carry that in his belt, buffalo horn. And he would make this bugling sound, and it would call all his friends to come out. And they would bring all their calves. And they had a lot of calves. His friends had tens of thousands of calves. Krishna himself had an arbuda of calves. Any mathematicians in here know what an arbuda is? Okay, it's a one with 17 zeros. That's how many calves. But he had several arbudas of calves. So this is the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We here in the Dashavatara Stotram by Jayadev Goswami as the preamble to the Gita Govinda, where he's describing the loving pastimes between Krishna and the gopis. He then describes Krishna's incarnation as a fish, as a tortoise, as a half man, half lion, as Vamandev, as Parushuram, and describes these heroic activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, kicking a hole in the universe and so forth, things that even the greatest player on the World Cup cannot achieve. And that's there for a reason, so that we don't take it that Krishna is an ordinary personality when we come to his loving pastimes. So he goes out into the forest with his friends. They're on their way to a picnic. And picnics mean that you're just having fun in life. And in fact, there's a social index in America called the Picnic Index. Sociologists study how happy people are in society in general by studying this picnic index. It doesn't just measure how many picnics people go to in a year, but they name it that because that's one of the aspects and it's notable. And the picnic index indicates that in our technological age, people are less happy than they were before because they don't have time for picnics. Because they have to stay home and take care of all their time-saving devices. Maybe they're on hold waiting for customer support to figure out how these two things interface and so forth. But Krishna goes on picnics every day, and they play as they go into the forest, and they're tending their calves. And as they go into the forest, the boys are playing games. They see monkeys, and they imitate the monkeys. And then they find a well, and they'll yell down into the well when they hear the echo. Then they'll yell at it again, and then they start cursing at it. And then they see frogs, and they imitate the frogs, sometimes jumping into the water after the frogs. The boys can play all day long, and at the end of the day, they'll say, "That's come back here, Gita, Gita Priya. If she's going to do, she has to do some frogs and stuff." Okay, so Krishna and his friends went into the forest and they imitated the frogs. Imitated the frogs. Wait. That was very good. But even better, they imitated the monkeys. All right. Very good. So Krishna was having fun, and some of the boys would run after Krishna, see who could touch Krishna first. And they were enjoying their pastimes, and then they saw in the middle of the road what they... Some boys thought, that's a snake. Other boys said, that can't be a snake. It's something Krishna's put here for our own pastimes. It looked like a gigantic... Well, actually, it was bigger than even a cave, because just the dimples on the side of the mouth of the snake, which his mouth was wide open, they looked like caves. What to speak of the opening, which is described as the bottom was on the ground and the top was up in the clouds. That's how big the snake was. And he was breathing, and it smelled like not very good. This fishy smell was coming from his belly. So this was a demon, a wizard, who had transformed himself through yogic power into this form of a big snake. And his idea was he was going to swallow Krishna and all the cowherd boys, and he was a messenger of Kamsa. So he was there for a dastardly deed. So the boys saw the snake, some of them ran away, and others of them said, it's not a real snake, and then finally they voted and said, real or not real, we're going inside because Krishna will protect us. They remembered Bakasura, and how Krishna had bifurcated this very dangerous demon, that even the demigods were afraid of Bakasura. And now they went into the mouth of Agasura, but they were ahead of Krishna, and they decided among themselves, made it took a quick vote, and they said, we go inside because Krishna will protect us. This was their mood. So, smiling and laughing, they walked into the mouth of this gigantic python. And Krishna was watching the situation. And they were looking at the beautiful face of Krishna and feeling pacified as they went into the mouth of the snake. And Krishna thought, what are you doing? And he was marveling at how his energies were working. And then Krishna followed behind all the cowherd boys into the mouth of Agasura. And inside, with his glance, he revived the cowherd boys. And then he began to make himself bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until he blocked the breathing capacity of Agasura. Agasura's soul, because the soul is different from the body, as Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, Dehino sminyata dehe komaran yovaram jara tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuyate, that the body, there's a deha and a dehi. There's the body and there's the inhabitor of the body. And the two are different. And then he says, what is knowledge? Kshetragnam chapimam vidhi sarva kshetre shubharata kshetra kshetragnayo jnanam yatach jnanam matambama. Those who know the difference between the body and the soul, they actually have knowledge. This is Krishna's very simple definition of knowledge. You don't have to go beyond that. If you don't know the difference between the body and the soul, doesn't matter how many other calculations you can make in your life, how many other philosophical turns of phrase you can make, you're still a fool. And that's what Krishna told Arjuna at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. You sound like you're an educated person, but you're really a fool. Asochanan vasochastam pragnavadam chapashase gatasuna gatasum cha nanu so chandi pandita. You sound like a pundit, but you're a fool because you don't know this one thing. You're not your body. So Agasura left his body, the spirit soul, which is categorically different from the elements of the body, made of a spirit which is part and parcel of Krishna, came from the head of Agasura and it stayed up in the sky. And the reason that it did was because Krishna wanted to show all the demigods and everyone else the good fortune of Agasura and to show that he was actually attaining a benediction. Krishna had walked in his mouth, and many yogis meditate for thousands and thousands of years. Munipungavanam. They try to read the best of all yogis, and they can't quite get him. But this demon got him walk at Krishna's lotus feet, walking right in his tongue, inside his mouth. And when Krishna came out with all the cowherd boys in tow, that spirit soul of Agasura that was hovering in the sky then came down and merged into the body of Krishna. And there it's described by Shukadev Goswami that if even by force and even one time for a moment one can bring the image of the Supreme Personality of God into one's mind, one can attain all perfection in life. This is how powerful this process of thinking of the Personality of Godhead is. And by hearing about him, one can remember him. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana mamabad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mami vaishasi yukvayavam atmanam aparayanaha. Just think of me. Become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me, and you'll come to me. I assure you of this, to have no doubt that this will happen. So Agasura then stayed in the body of Agasura, then stayed on that path, and it dried up, and it remained as a place of pleasure pastimes for the boys. They made it into a big playground. But the residents of Vrindavan did not hear about this for another year. And Parikshit Maharaj, who's hearing these pastimes from Shukadev Goswami, and keep in mind, Shukadev Goswami was completely detached from the material world. How many people do you know, by a show of hands, that are completely detached from the material world, have nothing to do with it, and are not at all interested in anything in this world? Ezi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvad. Hardly anybody's interested in the spiritual life, and those who are taking it up, they hardly any of them know about me. Sukadeva Goswami, completely detached from the material world, but he wanted to hear these topics. He was, Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, wanted to hear these topics, and Sukadeva Goswami wanted nothing else but to speak about these topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, the Bhagavatam says that these topics are for liberated souls. And it's beyond even the position of liberation in which one's no longer interested in the material world. That means, naishkarm yam, I'm no longer interested in working in this world for any result. But, apyachuta bhava varjitam, but if I don't have this bhava that comes from hearing about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam, it's not very attractive. It won't attract the soul, and it won't attract our minds, ultimately, to a position that we can maintain eternally. So, why didn't the residents of Vrindavan find out about Agasura being killed by Krishna and merging into his body for another year? They had just gone out for the day for a picnic. They were stolen. The cowherd boys and calves were stolen on that same day. They had gone, sat down for a picnic, and then the next thing that happened was Lord Brahma, who was watching this wonderful interaction between Krishna and his friends, thought, can this be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I'll test him. And as Krishna and the boys were having lunch, the calves, attracted by fresher, newer grass, they started wandering away. And Krishna told his friends, you stay here and eat, I'll go get the calves. Because Krishna's main happiness is to see his devotees happy. When they're satisfied, when they're taking prasad nicely, then he feels happy. So he was trying to accommodate all his friends. He said, I'll go, you stay, you have prasad. So he went off into the forest. He couldn't find the calves. Then he came back, couldn't find the boys. And then he realized Brahma is playing a trick. He stole all the calves and all the boys. So immediately Krishna remanifested all the boys and all the calves to the hair on their head. It was exactly identical. Every one of them was exactly identical. Every calf and every boy. And then Lord Brahma, after a year, came back. A year of his time was just a moment, and saw what had happened. And he realized that Krishna had done some incredible mystic trick. And when Krishna revealed what that trick was, and that actually every one of those calves and boys was an expansion, a Vishnu expansion, Brahma surrendered to Krishna, and he offered his prayers that are there in the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Parikshit Maharaj sat for 7 days and 7 nights, and he heard these topics, beginning with the topics we hear in the first canto about the process of hearing and chanting, and then about the universal form of the Lord. How's the temperature in here? It's hot. We don't have to stay hot, do we? In our old temple, we had no air conditioning, and devotees would come and pack in the temple, and sometimes it was 100 degrees inside, and nobody went away. Well, a couple of people came, and then they didn't come back. We were in that situation for 7 years. Every summer, it was 100 degrees sometimes inside the temple room. Good memories, right, Bali?
Yes.
Yeah, it was very good. It was very nice. It kept away people who weren't very serious about Krishna consciousness. So now we just have time for a couple of reflections. One thing that you heard that stuck in your mind. We have devotees who are texting in. So one from the text, from the internet.
This is Sudeep Sabnes Prabhu. And he says, in most pastimes, one thing common is Krishna protecting his devotees or giving them shelter, as in the pastime of lifting the Govardhan hill.
Wonderful. Nice observation. Yes, Malin. Oh, another one?
Yeah, there was also a text. It came in much earlier. I got to it much later. This is Radha Venkat Prabhu from Sacramento.
Hare Krishna. And
he's in Vrindavan now? Oh.
He's in Vrindavan.
And
we're getting a text from Vrindavan.
Yeah. So he texted at the time when you were asking about the conversations in Srimad Bhagavatam. And so he mentioned two, which I thought I'll bring up. One was between Sukhdev Goswami and Shaunak Rishi, and the other one was the one that we are discussing right now, Narad Muni and Vyasdev and Narad Muni.
Very nice, yeah. Very nice. Malini.
Ruchi, I like the point and stuck with me was the point where you said that the reason for our incompleteness is because of the incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. So I was just thinking whatever things come in our mind, the misrepresentations, everything is because we don't have the complete knowledge. So that was...
Nice. Nice recollection. Very good. Okay, so on that note, we're going to practice something that has been recommended by the Vedic scriptures, specifically the Kali Santaran Upanishad, gives the recommendation that in the age of Kali Yuga, which is verifiably the age we're in now, one should chant the mantra, which has 32 syllables, 16 names of God, and which goes like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a Vedic mantra. It comes from the Upanishads. And there it says, all of one's obstacles will be removed in the Kali Yuga. And so the devotees are passing out some japa beads for those who would like the aesthetic experience. May I have a set also, please? Of chanting japa, and we'll chant one round together. What is one round? You can hold on your beads, your thumb and middle finger on the bead, and there's a big end and a small end. So you start on the big end, like you're at the bottom of a tree, and then you move to the top of the tree. So you can see my thumb and middle finger like this, and I'm holding on to one of the beads. Now, you'll notice at the top of your string of beads, one head bead that's at the very top, you see? This is the Krishna bead. Don't chant on the Krishna bead, chant around the Krishna bead. And I'll start on this end, and I'll say, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then I move to the next bead like this. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in this way, we'll go all the way around to the other side of the head bead, and then we'll stop. And that way we'll have completed one round of japa of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Any question? Okay, so there's three tricks to, at least three, that will be helpful. That one is pronunciation. Be conscious that you move your tongue and use your vocal cords to say the mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And next, after pronunciation, is posture. If you sit up a little bit straight with your spine, then you'll find that the energy comes more focused and you can think of the mantra. And the trick is to keep bringing your mind back to the mantra. Man means mind and tra means to deliver. So hold on to the mantra, and when you find that your mind has gone away, and it will, bring it back very gently to the mantra. And you can notice if you sit up a little bit straight, you'll find the meditation is deeper. And then the third thing is prayer. So imagine yourselves to be helpless. And you don't have to imagine, because it's actually true. Just get in touch with the fact that at any moment, my life can be over. And I'm being maintained at every moment. In fact, it's a miracle that everything works the way it does. And it can just stop working. Can we confirm this with our doctor present? Sometimes does the heart just stop working for no reason? Some reason? There's some reason behind it. But it, unexpectedly.
Absolutely. 500,000 times a year in America.
500,000 times a year in America, the heart just stops unexpectedly. We have our cardiologist present for this presentation. And that's just one thing. If you go through the A's, the B's, the C's, and the D's, and you name all the ways that the mechanism can, of the whole body can stop, we could go on in every letter and naming categories. So don't think that you're infallible or that you have any guarantee of anything. And if you think in this mood and then pray with the mantra, these are names of God, very intimate, sacred names of God. And if you take this time to drop any kind of sense of false prestige, that I'm special because ... forget all that. Just think, I'm insignificant and I need help. And call out to the name with all your heart. This is prayer, the best kind of prayer. Pronunciation, posture, prayer. These are the three P's. And if you like, we can chant in unison. Would you like that?
Yes.
Unison. Okay, we'll go in unison, and when we come to the end, we'll stop and we'll notice the difference in our lives after we finish the Hare Krishna mantra. I will say one mantra before we start, which helps to clear any kind of obstacles in chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. And please repeat after me, and then we'll chant in unison the Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Prabhu Nityananda.
Sri Advaita Gadadhara. Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Hari Nam Ki Jai. Thank you, faithful devotees, for such a beautiful japa session. Our lives will never be the same. The vibration penetrates the whole universe. Everything in this world runs by mantra, and the best of all mantras comes from the spiritual world, the Krishna mantra and the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. By regularly chanting this mantra in your home practice, you will find that all your stress in life will go away. You'll develop knowledge of the self. You'll become detached from those things which are petty and which normally bother you. And you'll begin to develop a sense of love for God in your heart and an attraction for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Not only that, you'll be recognized as an exalted soul by all the advanced living entities in the universe and even the ruffians. And at the end of this lifetime, you will remember Krishna
and you'll be transported from this world back to the spiritual world, which is our eternal home, and have nothing more to do with Home Depot or 7-Eleven. And so it's been a lovely experience being with all of you today. Every time it's unique, and we've done our best to sit together to hear, just like Sudha Goswami and the sages of Naimasaranya. And now we're going to go to the next part of our program, which is dynamic, and you can let yourselves free and dance to your heart's content, sing from your heart. Don't have any inhibitions. This is a very authorized and beautiful process brought to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu over 500 years ago. We'll stand up in front of the deity, and the women can stand on this side, men over there, and then we're going to have an artik ceremony where we'll have call and response and chant Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.